Proverbs chapter 29. Thank you, Jim, for that lesson, that devotion. It was very, very timely, very good, thought-provoking. Proverbs chapter 29. I thought I had it on. It is on. Uh-oh. It's not red light, not doing nothing. Proverbs 29 and verse 10. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. The truth of this verse goes all the way back to the account of Cain and Abel, who were the children of Adam and Eve. Abel had offered an acceptable sacrifice by faith and was accepted by God as righteous and upright. Cain, on the other hand, offered the works of his hands in pride, and he was rejected by God and revealed to be a reprobate. In great anger and hatred, Cain committed the first murder recorded in the Bible when he killed his own brother, Abel. The hatred that Cain had for God extended to his brother who loved God. You see, there's a lot that's really illustrated in those early chapters of Genesis. Because not much has changed through the years. There's always been a hostility and antagonism between the righteous and the wicked. Oftentimes that hostility and hatred for God extends to those who love God, who are loyal to the Lord. Cain, acting upon fleshly impulses, willfully murdered his own brother out of spite and hatred. The bloodthirsty hate the upright. The bloodthirsty who hate the upright are devilish, and they're satanic. Jesus said as much in John chapter 8, verse 44. He tells those folks, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Verse 47, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." There have been a long line of murderers who have emulated Satan throughout human history. They often carry out their bloodthirsty desires in the name of religion or political ideology. You think of the Church of Rome, the Roman Catholic Church, headed up by a succession of bloodthirsty popes. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 6 says of the old whore that she's drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. All you have to do is get, you can read Catholic history and find out that they persecuted our Baptist brethren to the death. That they killed the Albigenses and the Waldenses and the Bogomils. They hated them with a real hatred because they would not bend. They would not bow to the dictates of the Pope and of the Roman Catholic Church. It's a sorry thing when someone in the name of religion kills those who oppose their thought, their doctrine, their ideology. It's wicked. There's no justification for it. Baptists have never been guilty of persecuting those who disagree with them. In fact, were it not for Baptists in the United States of America, there wouldn't be freedom of religion anywhere. It was unknown until the United States was born. I mean, you look at Europe and look at what went on over there. Every single country had a state church, whether it was run by the Pope or by some Protestant organization. Only in America did our Baptist forefathers say, we ought to be able to worship according to the dictates of our own conscience. There should be a freedom of religion. Then you have the Islamic religion. The Muslims have historically followed the satanic demands of their prophet Muhammad and has murdered millions of Christians since its beginning. You don't ever hear about it. It's a strange marriage between liberal ideology and Muslim ideology. But they have one common enemy, Christianity. A hatred for God, for His Word, for the nation of Israel, where God first deposited His law and His Word. There has been a hatred. And as such, there's always been an antagonism. Make no mistake about this, it will never be healed until Jesus Christ comes to rule and reign in righteousness upon this earth for 1,000 years. There will never be genuine peace on this earth until Jesus Christ comes again. Mark it down. It's not going to happen. All the diplomatic efforts of all the elites throughout the globe will never make it happen. All we can hope for is that God will restrain the wrath of man until Jesus comes. But the Muslim, Roman Catholicism has pretty much tamped down their persecution unto death. They don't kill a lot of people anymore. They've been exposed for that, and now they do it in other ways. But the Islamic religion is very open, very bold. They behead infidels. They go into these African countries and find out who professes to be Christians. And if they don't submit to Islamic teaching, they either cut their head off or put a bullet through them. There is no mercy. And we need to pray, actively pray against the spread of Islam. It's a satanic religion. It hates the true and living God. It's full of idolatry. It exalts a man who was filthy and perverted and wicked and power hungry. He's in hell right now. And yet, unbelievably so, there is such a push to go easy on the Muslim religion. Now, I don't believe that we ought to actively engage them physically. But we sure ought to expose their error. We have that freedom, and we ought to. their religion is worse than Catholicism. They have a lot in common with Catholicism. Both of them are work salvation. Interestingly enough, the first false practitioner of false religion, Cain, murdered his brother who practiced the truth. It's been that way ever since. Not only is this the bloodthirsty found among religions, it's also found in political ideology. Really, I believe Marxism is more than a political ideology. I think it's a religion. I think atheism is a form of religion. But Marxists who espouse socialist and communist political ideologies literally have had to spread their philosophy with murderous force, slaying millions in their quest to gain and then keep power. Who have been the most prominent socialist and communist regimes through history? Well, the Soviet Union, the Chinese, and the Nazis. They were socialists. Those were the three main Marxist promulgators of their ideology. Every single one of their revolutions continued with killing. In fact, over there in Germany, they had to build a wall just to keep people from fleeing communism because it was so oppressive. Progressives and elitists have showed their bloodthirsty side in murdering millions of innocent babies in the womb through the barbarous act of abortion. The bloodthirsty are cruel in many ways. Perhaps that may be the worst of all the acts to actually convince people that it's okay to take a life even before it's born. How fierce and uncontrollable must a man's depraved lust be to put hateful thoughts into murderous action? Sadly, many who commit such crimes feel fully justified in doing so. Think about that for a minute. They are so hardened by sin, so filled with hatred and cruelty, they feel justified in killing others. The most gracious, loving, righteous man ever to walk planet Earth was murdered for being upright, for being righteous, for speaking truth. Jesus was the true light who exposed the darkness of man's depravity and the hypocrisy of false religion. He was slain by bloodthirsty and wicked men. And those who have followed Jesus Christ through the centuries have often been martyred for their faith and their desire to walk in the steps of the Savior. In fact, Jesus told His disciples, if they've hated me, they're going to hate you. The disciple is not above his Lord or his Master. The second part of the verse, the bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. The just. Those justified by faith. Those who love the Lord. They are sympathetic to the testimony of the upright who are being persecuted. As believers, we need to stick together. We need to love one another. I receive a periodical once a month, The Voice of the Martyrs, and it details the persecutions that are going on throughout the world, and we often don't even think about it, but there are people every day being killed in the Middle East, in Nigeria, in China, for their faith in Jesus Christ. When our brothers and sisters are persecuted, we need to pray for them. We need to help them. We must seek the best for the souls of God's elect by way of encouragement, prayer, and assistance in their hour of need. If Jesus Christ doesn't come back, persecution is coming here. I'm talking about physical, bodily persecution. There's already political persecution. And it's only going to heat up as our nation becomes more and more divided and polarized. If the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? When you take away every vestige of the Judeo-Christian ethic that has preserved this country, you take that away, you eliminate it, which they are actively trying to do, you're going to have persecution, anarchy, hatred, and murder. It's going to happen. We need to pray for our kids. Pray for our grandkids. That God will give them grace. Because they're going to have to stand. May God help us not to turn a blind eye to the plight of those who are being persecuted by the bloodthirsty. You know, people are becoming so desensitized to violence. I don't know if you saw they had like a video clip of a family that was at Disney World, and they had a family feud break out. And I mean, these men were punching these girls in the face. And the girls were taking it. I mean, they were fighting them back. This is going on in Disney World with little kids all around. And what were people doing? They had their phone out videoing, going like this. Finally, one guy intervened. But people wouldn't even intervene. They were filming it, put it on Facebook, put it on Snapchat, Twitter, whatever else there is. That's how wicked our society has become. Verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterward. A fool has no filter for his mind or his mouth. Oftentimes he utters things that are ill-timed, obnoxious, and distasteful. There are some things that are better left unsaid until a more appropriate time, or maybe not said at all. Did anybody's mother ever say this to them? If you can't say anything good about somebody, don't say anything at all. Did your mom ever say that to you? She said it to me. A fool uttereth all his mind. As soon as he has a thought, no matter how stupid or trivial, the fool thinks he must tell everyone within earshot everything that he knows. And here's the ironic thing. Most fools think that they're far more interesting and intelligent than they really are. They think they're really, that everybody should be paying to listen to them. They reveal their ignorance by their words. Even if what they may say be true, they don't know when the appropriate time is to speak the truth. And with the advent of Facebook and Twitter, fools expose their vacuous thoughts to multitudes of people on a daily basis. I'm amazed at how many Hollywood stars actually think that we want to hear what their opinion is on a whole variety of subjects. I could care less what the girl who starred in Who's the Boss, Alyssa Milano, 40 years ago, I don't care what she has to say. Just because someone is rich or famous or attractive, it doesn't make them wise, as evidenced by some of the stupid things that people say. Charles Bridges said, "The man who speaks hastily and with conceit will be put to shame in his folly. He might have been counted wise in his silence, but silence is beyond his power. He uttereth all his mind, tells all he knows, thinks, or intends, and runs on until he's poured out all of his foolishness. It is sometimes thought a proof of honesty to utter all our mind, but it is rather a proof of folly. For how many things it would be far better never to speak, indeed to suppress in the very thought. How much of foolish talking and jesting, how many angry, detracting, uncharitable words do we utter because we have neglected to watch, or rather to entreat the Lord to set a watch upon our lips as the door of our hearts. And what wrong judgments we often pass upon men's actions because we utter all our mind, as it were in one breath, without pondering, or perhaps without materials to form a correct judgment." We got a lot of politicians who fit this verse. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. In contrast, the wise man is more thoughtful and more judicious with his words. He aims to speak when it's appropriate. And the wise man also desires to edify, to encourage, to build up with his words. Even when he must rebuke or correct, he prays about what to say and the appropriate time to say it. His desire is to be led of the Lord in all of his speech. Psalm 19:14 reveals the prayer of the wise man who desires to speak in a manner that pleases God. He says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." The wise man understands that his thought process is crucial to speaking right words that honor God. It is vital to sound speech that we understand we're going to be held accountable for every word that we speak. Jesus said that every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Let us labor to speak the truth when and where it's appropriate and needful. And in order to achieve that worthy goal, we have to keep in mind the words of the psalmist. He said this, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Psalm 39:1. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Psalm 141 and verse 3. May God help us to daily speak the truth in love and obey the admonition of Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We're dismissed.